Do you remember playing the board game called The Game of Life? Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. That game was one of my favorite games as a kid. Looking back, I think somehow my parents let me win most of the time. But the real question is, how do we win the real game of life? With detours, bumpy roads, and setbacks, life can feel as random as the spin of a wheel on a board game. Discover newfound strength and confidence as we open the book of Proverbs to reveal the secrets to winning the game of life. If you'd like to join us or learn more about us, check us out online at www.pccwired.org.
Heavenly Father, you are so amazing, Lord, that you came to our rescue. Lord, in this game of life, there's so many different variables, different paths, and Lord, that you have chosen to rescue us. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us. And Lord, as we speak tonight about the spoken word and how words impact people, Lord, just show us. Bring your spirit, bring in our hearts, convict us of where you are, and bring us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have, I'm going to say a phrase, and if you can complete it with me as I finish. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. Do you believe that? Absolutely not. I don't understand that, because words just, they just hurt. It takes me back to, and you too maybe, back to the playground at elementary school. I was in fourth grade, and I was, this one kid was always on my case, and he said, you know what, you should stop coming to school because you're not even smart enough to be in school. That stuck. I had another kid say, I don't know if you can tell, I have lots of freckles, and I've had lots of freckles my whole entire life. And the one kid said, you're just a big giraffe. I was like, oh, I'm a big giraffe. But you can align yourself. Somewhere in the playground, someone said something to you about a flaw that you knew about, or something about your weight or about your looks, and it just stuck with you. Middle school and high school, I used to do youth ministry, and it moves more, not the playground disappears, kind of, but the words don't. It becomes more of a war zone. Certain kids realize that they have power with their words, and that they can put other kids down with their words and point out flaws and pounce on kids and make them and control them. I don't ever want to go back to middle school or high school. And I thought, wow, if we're maturing and we're getting older, these words and these kinds of things will stop. They don't. We as adults become more crafty or more subtle or more quiet about it, but we still stick words that hurt, and we still make fun of flaws of other people to make us feel better or just to put them down. I much rather someone huck a rock at me, because that hurt for a moment. But words will last for a very long time. This is a new setup for me here in Elements. I have a stand, and so I'm going to try to not make a fool of myself right here. So bear with me. Our sermon series, this isn't going to work. Here we go. There we go. It's not that I disrespect the Bible. I just threw it on the ground so I had more space. Just checking. All right. Brian threw that Bible down on the page. The game of life. We've been learning about our private life, our families, our friends, and learning about how all those interact in our lives and the decisions and choices that we make. What we're talking about tonight is the spoken life. And it's in everything that we do. The spoken life is in our relationships at home, our relationships with our families, in our private lives. It's everywhere. And if we can learn how to handle the words that we speak and how they affect others, we can really make a difference. I want you to use this next phrase as kind of a gauge and a compass of where we're going tonight. I want you to use it as a filter. And so everything that we say and talk about, I want you to have this in mind. How we use our words to each other is a reflection of our heart. How we use our words with each other is a reflection of our heart. The first Proverbs that we're going to talk about tonight is this. Proverbs 18, the tongue has a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If we really, really want to speak life into people's life and live life, we'll choose our words properly and we'll go after the fruit. I'll give you an example. Tuesday morning, I was I have three kids. I have an 8, a 6, and a 4-year-old. My 4-year-old wears glasses. And he's been wearing glasses for about 15 months, since he was 15 months. And I was getting ready. I was ironing my shirt. And I was in our laundry room, and there's a door. And then here's a long room where the TV and stuff is. And they were getting ready for school. My two oldest were eating breakfast. And my youngest son came up and said, "Dad, my glasses aren't working." And I said, "Glasses? How do your glasses not work?" And so I said, "What's wrong with your glasses?" And he said, "Well, the earpiece is bent a little weird." And I was like, "Okay." So I got them out, and because we've had 28 pairs of glasses, I've learned to fix them. And so I bent the earpiece and put it back on his face, and he's like, "Dad, they're still not working. My eyes are not working. They're not working." And I'm like, "Okay, all right." So I took them off. I adjusted his nose piece, because that's what he said it was wrong. And so I adjusted his nose piece, and I was like, I was ironing, and I was thinking about other stuff, and this was not part of my morning schedule, was fixing glasses of a 4-year-old that wasn't communicating with me properly. And so this went on for like 10 minutes. "No, it's my side piece now. Now the left side's higher. Now the right side's higher. Now the back doesn't fit. Now the right side, what you fixed first doesn't work." And it was going on and on and on and on and on. And he was doing it in a lovely whining voice, which always grates on my nerves. Not yours, mine. And so I just snapped. And I said, "Do I look like an ophthalmologist? I can't fix your glasses. Why aren't they working?" And as soon as I said that, he just looked at me like, "Dad." So I knew that I had slipped over a line. And so I stepped back into the kitchen and turned. My other two kids were looking at me, and my wife was at the stove looking at me and said, "You're probably speaking about words this week, aren't you?" So how we use our words to speak to each other is a reflection of our heart. My heart was not there to help my son. My heart was doing something for myself. The spoken word holds lots and lots and lots of power. The words we choose are crucial to the outcomes of conversations, to the outcomes of conflict. And how we choose those words is a reflection of our heart. Words must mean something, because in the scriptures it says, I'm going to have to read it. The word must mean something. Beginning of the time, the word was God. So God was the word. In the beginning of time, Genesis, God spoke and things were created. He created life. He created the world. And he created everything in it just by speaking his words. God's words were so powerful, so direct, so meaningful, and so intentional. He created everything by just a movement of his lips. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." That's the NIV version. I really prefer the Message version. It says this: "The right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry." For you jewelry lovers out there, you're like, "Ooh, yeah. Jewelry, if it fits, person, custom, measured, fine. The way I designed it, great." And you know the ones that like jewelry and accessories, that the accessories on an outfit are the final thing that make the outfit look really good or really bad. And the guys in the room are thinking like, what are you talking about? I just put my belt on, put my pants and my shirts on, and that's how it rolls. But women spend a lot of time picking out accessory to really accentuate the way that they look or to really bring out the outfit and to make it look really, really cool. Guys, we do it just in another way. We accessorize our cars. We buy high-end electronics, sound systems, surround things. I walked into a guy's house the other day and I thought I was going to go deaf because I heard Transformers in 7 different speakers all at the same time. So we do it. We spend a lot of time in researching. Women spend a lot of time maybe getting ready or shopping or doing all that stuff. But guys, we are on Crutchfield or on the internet looking for technology and what's the best source and all that stuff. We spend a lot of time making things look good and feel good. My question to you is, why don't we do that with our words? Why don't we spend the time and the energy that we do on making ourselves look good or by picking out our girlfriend's outfits or by picking the accessories for our cars, why don't we spend that kind of energy making sure that our words are put together and they're careful, that they're not hurting, that they're healing? We have a choice every time that we open up our mouth and every time that we speak. We can either build up or we can cut down. We can use our tones, we can use our word choices, we can choose all those things to make people be built up, encouraged, and to make them feel better. It all goes back to, where's your heart's motivation? What's driving your heart? What's moving you in your words? In the Message version, it says, the right time, the words in the right time. And I, speaking words in love at the right time honors people. How do you honor people? How do you love people with your words? You put their situation and their feelings before yours. Paul puts it like this. If you turn with me to Ephesians 4:29. See, I told you I respected my Bible. I want to use it. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let me read it again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Is that easy? I grew up in athletics. I grew up around locker rooms. I grew up around sports teams. And it seems that unwholesome talk and coarse joking just is part of the game. And I had to learn at a very young age that if I talked that way, my parents would kill me. I tried it once. Didn't work out so well. But so, I don't think we understand that our words, again, have power, and the way we speak and the way that they may not, people around us may not understand who we are or what the relationship is. But we need to guard our lips from unhealthy talk, gossip, slander, sexual comments, racist jokes, and putting down others. That's how we honor, and that's how we reflect our hearts. I was at Starbucks. I do a lot of studying at Starbucks. You'd think that you'd study here, it's your job, and you can study. I can't study here because I want to be in all the mix of everything. I want to be talking with people and stuff. So I was at Starbucks, and I usually have my headphones in, and I, for some reason, I didn't put them in, and there's a table just adjacent to mine, there was 2 girls. They could have been high school, late high school, early college. And every other word out of their mouth was a 4-letter one. It was this and that and that and this and describing things with that and this. And I just thought to myself, those are just ugly words. Those are just ugly. They sound ugly. The tone of them are ugly. And it's just, I was like, oh. But those words aren't the only ugly words in life. I bet in the middle of an argument, anybody argued in here? Anybody? Anybody? No one? In the middle of an argument, communication breaks down when loving words are stopped being said. When ugly words show up, communication stops. And then words of cutting and cutting words, just so sharp, piercing words, hurtful words, just start flying out of your mouth for no apparent reason. They just go. And some of them, they have intent, because like, you know what, if that person's going to say that, I'm going to say this. And it's just back and forth, back and forth. And some people that I've talked to say, you know what, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I communicate. That's just the way it is. That's how it goes. It's not. We make a choice to communicate in slander and in coarse joking and in words that don't communicate love. If I want my words to stand for something or to mean something, or for my words to be trusted by other people, we need to connect with Jesus. Because the only way that my heart can be cleaned out, refiltered, and refocused is connect with Jesus. He knows our heart. He knows our passions. He knows our desires. He knows what's going on. And if we get disconnected from Him, things start happening. We start filling our hearts full of anger, bitterness, unhealthy thoughts, and words that aren't loving start popping out of our mouth. The more time we're separated from Him, the time that we don't talk with Him, the time we're not having a relationship with Him, the words are a little bit harsher, a little bit quicker. I'm speaking the words for me. And if you can align yourself with that, please do. That does not mean that speaking in love doesn't mean that we have hard conversations, that we have to speak directly to some people. Because those are conversations need to happen. But those conversations can be done so much easier if your words can be trusted. If your words can be easily digested because you haven't had a harsh word or a coarse word or ugly, or people haven't felt unsafe with your words before. They can trust your words to bring joy, refinement, safety. Jesus is in our hearts, and He wants us to be reflected in our words. I've been a part of so many conversations, and you have too. You probably think of these, is that you're in a conversation with someone, and someone, it happens around a lot during political times, but it happens all the time. If people just jumps out, pops off, and says all their opinions all together, and just lays it on you. Here it is. This is what I believe. This is what I am. And it just, bleh. Has anybody been a part of that? Has anyone done that? I have. What makes us think that we can do that? What makes us think we can do that? When I was first in college, I had an apartment, and I like invited people over because I like entertaining. I like people. I like being around. And there was like 10 or so people in my apartment, and they were all sitting around in a U shape, and we're kind of just, you know, sitting talking. And for some reason, I felt like I needed to put on a show. I felt like I needed to entertain or do something. And so I just started off on a path about some of the convictions and the strong opinions that I have. It started off with tattoos, started off with piercings. It filtered around some homosexuality, what I thought about that, and about some drinking. And in this room was all kinds of different kinds of people. My future wife was sitting off to my right side on our couch right here, and you could see the fumes coming out of her ears. She was a newer Christian, and she was just getting angry. You could just see the level of intensity just going and going as I spoke. And I thought, I'm getting attention. Nah, 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 nah. So I was popping off with all these things. And I saw her getting so upset because I was not taking her feelings, her history, her piercings, her tattoos into account. I was crushing her with my words and my opinions. After that night, she said she was struggling to come back to church, struggling to fit in, because if that was the attitude and if that was the words that were going to be used by the part of the group of the church that I was a part of at that time, she wanted to have nothing of it. My opinions, my off-cuff words almost kept another person from going to church and experiencing who Jesus is. In Proverbs 21, it says, who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. I caused calamity because of my words and my actions and my opinions. Let's be intentional with our words. Let's really decide, is it worth it for me to spew out my mouth what is in my brain? I still have some opinions about those things. I still have some strong opinions about those topics. Those are my opinions. They don't have to be blasted at everybody that gives you attention. Ask yourself, by giving my opinion, what is it saying about my heart? That's one question. Giving my opinion, what is it going to say about my heart? How will it come across? How is it going to be delivered? Who am I? Who's the audience in which I'm talking it out to? Will it bring someone closer to Jesus, or will it push him farther away? Let's check our hearts. Our opinions are opinions, but our opinions can push people away. And let's just be aware of who's in the room. On the other side, some of us speak words of healing and don't know what the impact it is on others. And sometimes you never know. I've been in the scenario, and I just told you one about me yelling at my youngest son. You have seen struggling parents with multiple kids in a restaurant trying to order food, trying to get their kids to get to the bathroom, wash their hands, sit down. What do you want? You've heard those discussions, and you've seen the parents just utterly yell at their children in a restaurant. Just say, ah! Go sit down, go there, go that, and just snap. And then all at the same time that they're yelling at their kids, the person that's asking for their food, can I help you? And it goes from ogre to, oh, yes, thank you for your help. Yes, I would like. In that moment, what is that parent saying to that child with his words? He's saying, or she is saying, that customer service or that person is way more important than you. Proverbs 12:18. Let's turn to Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words
Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of a wise brings healing. I want to tell you a little story. So obviously, I'm talking a lot about my wife because I've learned a lot about my communication through my wife. And I hope you've learned a lot about communication with your spouse or with other people, because people giving you sounding boards like, that was not so good, that wasn't nice, don't talk that way, has been very helpful to me. I remember when I was first dating Kimberly, after we got over the whole piercing tattoo conversation, that in the apartment, we got over that, and when we started dating, we were sitting at the KFC on Speedway and just having a normal conversation, just absolutely just chatting about the day. She was teaching at the time. She was teaching fifth grade, and we were just talking, and she said, you know what? I was thinking today that I'm really, really proud of you. That's it. She said that. I just think I'm really, really proud of you. That moment, along with some other things, how she treated me, was the moment that I knew that she was the woman to marry. A simple saying of, I was just thinking about you today, and I'm really, really proud of you. Words at the right time, in the right place, can create healing and can be amazing. We got married, and it was like 4 or 5 months after we got married, and I said, you know what really, she asked me a question, when was the moment, you've probably never been asked this question, when was the moment that you knew that you were going to marry me? What was that moment? And I said, you're going to laugh. It was at a fast food restaurant on Speedway eating fried chicken. And she said, what? I've never eaten fried chicken with you. And I said, it was that one time you ate fried chicken with me. And she doesn't eat fried chicken. So it was interesting that she had no clue. She had no clue that those words meant so much and had impacted me in the way that I chose to marry her. So words do carry lots and lots of power. So what, right? That's what you're thinking, right? So what? What does that mean, Brian? You've been talking about having loving words and intentional words and having encouraging words, but what does that mean? It means that we can radically change the way that we speak and the way that we talk by changing our heart. What's in your heart? What have your conversations been about lately? What is the outpouring of your heart in the last month, in the last year? Do you see a trend? Do you see some things that have really affected you? I think a take home for this, we all speak in phrases and we have words that we use. Sometimes we use them more with certain friends or not. I want you to really go through your words and just think about the words that you use and write them down or keep them in your head and think, are these words bringing healing and uplifting, or are they tearing down? And some words could be in the middle, but you really have to think about the words that we use on a regular basis to see what they do. And I want you to think of one person this week who needs your encouragement, who needs to hear a word of positive reinforcement or positive encouragement. This is an intentionally given to them, face-to-face, through an email, through a letter, someone you that are going to communicate with to give them direct encouragement. Parents, I've spoken a little bit about parents. Parents, I need you to speak directly to your kids' lives and their character. Not for what they do wrong, but what they do right. I spent the next 2 days after I yelled at Lawson Tuesday. I was gone. It was really bad. I left and I had to come back. And so he still remembers, Dad, why did you yell at me? Because I couldn't see. I think it's, holding my words. They have power. Bosses, if you're a boss, I know a lot of you run your own business, or you're involved, or you're supervising people. How do you speak direct encouragement to people that you are in charge of or that you lead? How do you intentionally lift them up with your words? Spouses, when's the last time that you intentionally spoke something extremely positive or extremely loving to your mate? Our words, if we go back, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They do. And if you're a spouse and you said hurtful words, you need to make it work. You need to say some positive things, and you need to ask forgiveness for those. I know, that if we speak positively to each other, if we are wise in our words, that we don't, and if we're aware with people in the room, we can make a difference in people's lives. We can speak and not worry about harsh things coming out, and being able to speak into people's lives, being safe, and being able to really speak into their lives to help them in a time where they need your words the most. We're moving into a time of communion and offering. And I am going to explain communion like this. Jesus died. He created this earth, and he died on this earth so that we could have life. And I want you to take the communion cup, and I want you to just take it and hold it and just think of maybe the harmful words that you've spoken or the words of encouragement that you've gotten. And just realize that Jesus is saying, I love you. And this is what this means, is he died on the cross for us. And the blood and the bread shows that he loves us. Then we're going to move into time of offering. And since we are talking about the spoken word, and offering in communion seems to be a little quiet sometimes, but we're going to bring a verbal spin to it tonight. So when you give your tithe and offering, when that basket goes by and God has allowed you to give, I want you to say thank you. I want you, as you put the check in, the envelope, whatever it is, I want you to say thank you. Because without him, you are not able to do that. Can we do that? Take communion slowly. Just think about who Jesus is and say thank you when you drop the stuff in the offering. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so caught up in our own self all the time. And Lord, I just pray that as we hear about your words, about the Proverbs, about all the things of the wisdom that you give us about our words and how they affect and how they tear down and how they can build up and how they can heal. Lord, help us understand what that is and what that's like. Lord, help us use our words to reflect you out of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.